From unsolved mysteries to unexplained phenomena, from comedy gold to relationship fails, Amazon Music's got the most ad-free top podcasts. Included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Hi, welcome back to Redefined by Love. My name is Jennifer. I am your host of Redefined by Love. If you're new here and you've somehow come across this podcast for the first time, I want to welcome you. Redefined by Love is a podcast that the Lord placed it on my heart to start about 4 years ago. Was the beginning of it. But about 2 years ago, he started to clarify the vision for it. And in case the name doesn't clarify it, and you're wondering, Redefined by Love is the podcast dedicated to helping individuals who are experiencing mental and emotional and spiritual issues be able to redefine their perspectives on themselves, life in general, other people, and of course their perspective on God and their relationship with God by the truth of His love. And so we do these podcasts generally once a week, although I reserve the right to be led of the Spirit, which basically means you cannot set this on autopilot. There are some weeks that the Lord doesn't give me anything to talk about. And when He doesn't give me anything to talk about, I am not a person that's just going to talk to talk. So if He doesn't give me a topic or He doesn't give me a guest to bring on or anything like that, then we won't have a podcast that week. But we are actually coming to the end of our second season of doing the podcast. At which time we'll take a break for the fall and probably regroup at the beginning of the year. So probably sometime in September, we'll go on that hiatus. But for now, we're here. So I am so excited to be here. So today, I wanted to take some time and dive into something really interesting to look at, and that is going to be living from a place of rest. So if you're a person who you've experienced any level of anxiety, depression, rejection-related issues in your lifetime, this topic will make perfect sense to you. And the reason this topic will make so much sense to you if you're a person that's dealt with these things is because oftentimes these are the things that exasperate our inability to live from rest. And so if you're battling, say, anxiety and depression, it's going to be really hard for you to live from rest. You're going to be anxious about everything, depressed, and therefore not really experiencing the rest of God, unfortunately. And so that is what we're going to tackle today. So the first thing that I want to discuss is what the word, what rest actually means. And of course, we have our definition of rest according to the Westernized Dictionary. And I guess I'll start with that. So according to Webster's Dictionary, this is from the Oxford Language Dictionary. It has two different definitions that are verbs. Okay. And the first definition is to cease work or movement in order to relax, refresh oneself, or recover strength. The second definition is going to be placed or supported so as to stay in a specified position. So the word rest is more biblically, right? You can pull from either one. So the first thing is, whenever we see in scripture where it talks about renewing of the strength or anything like that, we know that this is referring to a posture of rest. And this is what the world's definition of rest means. It means to cease what you're doing and lean into relaxation. But from a biblical perspective, which of course, if you've listened to this show for any number of time, you know, I'm always coming from a biblical perspective. So from a biblical perspective, the word rest actually means to lean out of our own striving and lean into the finished truth of the cross of Christ, that God has the entire thing in his hand. And that is by his Spirit that we're going to accomplish the things that we believe he's asked us to do, right? And so rest can be either active or inactive. So you can go into a restful state, especially when we're talking spiritually, where God literally says, no, I want you to sit. I don't want you to do anything. I do not want you to worry about anything. I want you to just soak it all in and enjoy the beauty of our union. And here's the thing. That is 100% an acceptable thing to do. If God is calling you to a season of rest, it's probably because you need one. It's probably because you're weary, right? And we saw the first part of that definition says to recover strength. So if you're weary, if you're tired, if you feel drained, if you feel like you can't take it anymore, this is a sign that you're probably not operating from rest, because it's the opposite of what rest produces. Rest is should produce peace, relaxation, calm, and joy. So if you're experiencing contradictory fruit, like chaos, stress, high levels of anxiety and depression, and so on and so forth, if this is what you're experiencing, that's actually a sign that you are not operating from rest. And so rest is not something that we should be going in and out of. We should actually live from a place of rest. So when we're moving and doing things and operating in the things that God is showing us, and we're working or whatever that looks like, right? There should be a component to it where peace follows us. And I think that what we've done in the Western church is we've idealized spiritual warfare. So essentially we tell people, and I've heard this said, we tell people that, oh, well, when you are moving towards God, the way you know it's God is because of the spiritual warfare. That is the most backwards thing ever. First of all, you're probably going to have spiritual warfare irregardless to what you do or don't do. Reigns on the just and unjust alike. That is what scripture says. So spiritual warfare in and of itself is not a sign that you're doing the right thing. Spiritual warfare can be a sign that you are out of place and you're actually trying to do something that you shouldn't be trying to do. But it can be, you know, opposition. The enemy does oppose the plan of God in our lives, of course. Why wouldn't he? But just because you're experiencing what you perceive to be spiritual warfare does not mean you're doing what you should be doing. sometimes God is leading us into the pasture of rest. And to cement this, to really dig into it and to really talk about it, I actually want to talk about Psalm 23. Because I believe that Psalm 23 is the most epic and beautiful picture of what it looks like to live from rest that exists in Scripture. I don't think there's anything else in Scripture that more clearly denotes the perception of what it looks like to live from rest. Like, I just don't think there is anything. And so what I would like to do is I would like to talk about and look at Psalm 23 as a picture of what rest actually should look like. And so the first verse says, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation. So the first verse says, Yahweh is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. Now, we have all, from time to time, we have all read this passage. Or I think, I'm not going to say all. I'm going to say that most believers that I meet have read this passage of Scripture. I have met very few believers, especially those who have been believers for most of their life, who could honestly say, oh, I've never read Psalm 23. I'm not saying it doesn't exist or it can't happen, because anything can, but most of us know this scripture. In fact, this is the first scripture I ever memorized. I used to go to a beauty shop in my neighborhood, and the lady had it adjacent, like, to the shampoo bowl, as to where every time you were leaning back to get your hair shampooed, you're spending the entire time looking at Psalm 23. And that's how I memorized Psalm 23. The first scripture I ever memorized was Psalm 23. And I did it because I was looking at it constantly at the beauty shop. And so it says, Yahweh is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. So the reason I believe that this passage is the picture of what rest looks like is because it starts here. So it starts from a posture of realizing that he is our shepherd. So just alone from that simple perspective, from that simple perspective of understanding that he is our shepherd, we automatically, right, automatically by nature, we take the stance that he's going to be more than enough for whatever we have to deal with. He's going to be more than enough for every situation that we find ourselves in. He's going to be enough to navigate the difficulties and complexities of life. And also this perspective of a shepherd, right? So I think when we read this passage, we think of shepherd as in the way a pastor is a shepherd of the flock. But this actually is more adjacent to the way a shepherd shepherds sheep, which is essentially the way that pastors are supposed to function. But we know humans, you know, we all have different perspectives of how we view things. But here we're saying we are operating from the place of him being the shepherd, us being the sheep. Why does this matter? Because if we're the sheep and he's the shepherd, he is leading the show. He's going to guide us when it's time to rest. He's going to guide us when it's time to move. He's going to say when it's time to stop. He's going to say what we need, and he's going to give us what we need. And if we don't have it, we don't need it. That's why it follows up with, I always have more than enough, because I trust my shepherd to divine and dictate what I do and don't need. So therefore, if my shepherd hasn't provided something to me, that means that I don't need it. And that's the stance we take, right? Rest, that is the stance we take. So verse 2, He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace near quiet brook of bliss. So again, this comes back to the same statement I said about peace. If I am following the path that the great shepherd is leading me on, right? Then I should find peace and bliss along this line. And where is this? It's in his love. So in this cascade of his love that's wrapped around us, we should experience the outflow of peace and bliss, peace and joy. That's what we should experience as an outpouring of his love. If we're not experiencing that, that is a sign that we're not at rest. So a couple things we know already starting out. Number one, he's the shepherd. So when you operate and you live from a place of rest, you recognize that he's the shepherd. He's guiding, right? And the second thing we should see, right? As an outpouring of his love, we should begin to see peace and bliss or joy come forth, right? So verse 3, that's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me the right path and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. So let's park at that for a minute and let's really think about it. He is the one that restores and revives our life. If we're not coming to this brook of bliss and we're not letting him be the shepherd to lead us into this place of peace and joy, we are not going to feel that revived life or restored life. He restores our life and he revives our life. And if we're not trusting, so step one, right, is trusting that he is the shepherd. So if we've never done that, if we've never really allowed him to be the shepherd of our heart and of our lives, then we are not going to experience this, what we're talking about here, right? But the key word here is he opens up the path and leads us along the footsteps of righteousness. So if we're wondering, because again, this is he's the shepherd, right? So if we're wondering, how do we walk? What do I do? How do I do the right thing? How do I make sure that I'm not, you know, dishonoring anyone or mistreating anyone? Well, you do it by letting him lead you on the paths of righteousness. And the reason, right, isn't for accolades for us. It isn't so we get anything. It's for his name. His glory and honor is in how faithful he is to lead us down this path of righteousness. So think of it that way. And even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. So again, we've made him the shepherd of our lives. We are resting or letting him lead us down paths of rest. And we are experiencing the peace and joy that flows out of experiencing his love. Now what we have is an assurance. We have an assurance that whatever path we find ourselves on, he is on it. He's there with us. And even when it looks like we're walking through a season of darkness, or if it looks like we're walking through a season of challenge and difficulty, he is actually leading this charge for us. He is guiding us because, again, to go back to verse one, we've made him the shepherd of our lives. So we're allowing him to lead and guide and navigate which direction we do or don't take, right? So all fear of the outcome, fear of not doing well enough, fear of whatever is just taken away and completely overshadowed by his love. This is real. And if you are letting him be the shepherd of your life, you will realize that you can't be overtaken by fear because he's already conquered the deepest, most intimate parts of our heart. As a shepherd, he would have been the closest friend. He would be the closest friend that we have. So we've already given him the ability to take precedence over everything else. And therefore, our strength, his strength and authority is what brings us peace. So we know that this is all flowing out of him, out of his spirit. Verse 5, you become my delicious feast even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my cup overflows. So what is this? This is, I am devouring. I am eating the whole lamb. I am drinking from the cup of his joy. I am drinking from the inner bliss that comes through experiencing union by the Spirit with the Lord. And I'm experiencing this, right, until it overflows out of me, until I have so much of his love, so much of his grace, so much of his peace in me, filling me to a capacity that the only choice it has is to flow out of me, right? And then verse 6, so why would I fear the future? Only goodness and tender love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when this life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. So it's saying this life, I only see goodness and love following me. I don't see trials following me. I don't see drama following me. I don't see anxiety following me. I don't see depression. All I see is goodness and tender love following me. And as a byproduct of that, I'm not worried about what happens in this life because I know either here, goodness and love is going to overtake me, or if I transition, I get to be with him forever. So there's no way I can lose. There is no way I can lose. There is no way I can lose. I win either way. Right? That's what this psalm is saying. That's what David or the psalmist is saying. Either way, I win. I can't lose. And so the reason I read this scripture, Psalm 23, is because I want to speak into those who you experience massive amounts of depression, anxiety, you're stressed, you don't really know how to feel. You're not 100% sure what to think. And you're confused, okay? The Lord would have you know the answer to the stress, the anxiety, the frustration, the not knowing which way to go, not knowing what to do, all of these things that you're experiencing. The answer is in allowing him to become the great shepherd of your heart, allowing him to be the one leading, allowing him to be the one showing you what he needs you to see, right? Rest, living life from a place of rest. And the first step that we have to take in living our lives from the place of rest is to recognize and allow him to be the great shepherd of our hearts. Allow him, by releasing the need to control, releasing the need to be in charge of our lives, and realizing that the best possible life we could ever hope for, we find in him. So if you're experiencing anxiety, depression, any stress like that, lean into Psalm 23 this week. So that was really all I had. I wanted to talk about depression and anxiety and really look at it from a biblical perspective of how we can allow the Lord to just eradicate it. I hope this blessed you. And I will see you guys next time. Thanks.